stuff. It's like athletic wear and stuff, and it's comfy, and I wore it. He gave it to me when I was down there preaching. So, okay, this wasn't notes for Susan. You didn't have this? Okay. No, okay. Oh, yeah, that's for VBS. I just looked at the bottom line. It was a dead giveaway. Please ask the kids not to open rolls. I'm thinking, okay. I thought, well, it could be this class, you know, become like children. I thought maybe you guys are taking Jesus literally and we're just calling you kids now. Look at you, obedient little classroom you. You guys look awesome. Amen. Lest you become like children. I said this a lot in this school so far. When he talks about children and childlike, I just always think of the word innocence. Amen? Am I missing a joke or something? What? Come on, I knew I was missing something. He's sitting there sucking his thumb. Get out. God, you're good. Isn't Jesus amazing? You know, you got to believe that first, and then you start to seek him, and he starts to reveal himself, and it's really true. Jesus is amazing. Just like Martha said, you can reach out and just begin to love somebody when he becomes love in your own life and real. You really got something to give. Amen? I want to go to Matthew 10. I started there. Now, I got a lot of questions yesterday, so I took them. I really did, and I'm not upset about that. That's good. I don't get upset anyway, but you know what I mean by that. I'm not second-guessing that, but today I really want to establish some words. So try to hold your questions for a little bit. I want to get, it's Thursday, right? And there's something I feel like we need to accomplish here as far as word-based, and then I want to do more training next week, more training and teaching on walking in these truths, but I want to establish the truth. I want you to see how much the Word says what we're saying and what we're talking about, the kingdom and healing, and I just want you to see how much Scripture is like everywhere, and especially unlimited stuff. We read a couple already, but there's stuff that just has no limitation to it, and it's Jesus that said it all. What? He's smiling at that phone. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Matthew 10. Let's pick up where we left off yesterday. Well, we didn't leave off there. We kind of started there. I made some comments, and I know I provoke questions sometimes. I do. Yeah. Do I? Yeah. Are you serious? I'm meeting with you after today, right? You're on the carpet. You and your husband directly after class in the side room. I am. Well, I really am, though. No, it's all good. Thank you, God. As you go, preach, saying, verse 7, Matthew 10. Thank you, Father. Let revelation come. Let our hearts see and understand. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Let's release our faith in something before we teach. Look at Luke 24 real quick. This just came in my spirit. This is good. Just going to release our faith as we pray something. You know, you can even pray and get religious. Just pray because you're opening a service. You don't want to do that. Luke 24. Jesus just raised from the dead. They're pretty freaked out. You would be too. I would have been too. Because they just were freaked out. Right? Because they weren't expecting it. When he would say he was raised from the dead, they didn't even hear him because death's a finality. They were consumed by the fear of death. So he comes, behold my hands and feet, and he shows him in verse 39 and 40. He showed his hands and feet because he had asked him to touch him. Oh, it's neat too. He says, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as I have, verse 39. There's reasons he's saying this stuff, guys. Behold my hands and feet. See, I wasn't, man, it's dangerous to go places. There's so much in the Bible. I just wanted to show you one little thing here. This is so good. I'm looking here, I'm going, oh my goodness. Behold my hands and feet. It is I myself. Look, handle me and see, for a spirit Why would he have this in the Bible? Why is he saying this? Why is he doing this? And why isn't he a spirit raised from the dead? You know, you watch the kids' cartoons and somebody comes up from the dead and they're like, woo, and they're a spirit. They're like a ghost, right? Didn't you grow up seeing that your whole life on TV and kids' shows and stuff? Watch this. A spirit does not have flesh and bone as I have. So after he raised from the dead, did he still have flesh and bone? That's amazing. Why is that important? Because he's still a man. It's simple. He's still a man and he wants you to see that. Hey guys, he wants you to know that. He's going to the right hand. He's going up to the heavenly sanctuary as a man, not a spirit, so that he can represent all men to the Father. So a man today, as we're teaching, a man is in the holy place with his blood on the mercy seat sitting at the right hand of God, representing all men. So he's our mediator. He's a mediation for us. So through Christ, that's why through Christ we can go to the Father. It's just amazing. A man in heaven representing all men on earth. Isn't it important if he says, touch me? I'm not a spirit. I have flesh and bone. And it's, he's our high priest. We can maybe get into that. You guys understand what I'm saying? Or are you confused? It's amazing. Perfect blood, pure blood, holy blood, perfect man, sitting on behalf of all men, making us complete. So all we have to do is come to him by faith. So the love of the Father for us is revealed through the Son. But anyway, down here, verse 44, he's like, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, and all things must be fulfilled that were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms all bore witness of Jesus. True? Now look at verse 45. This is all I wanted you to see. Yeah, I just got caught up in verse 39. I was like, oh! See how fun reading your Bible can be? You're sitting at home. And you know what? When that touches your heart and you begin to talk to the Lord about it, he'll make it real to you. Look, and he opened. What did he do? He opened their understanding that they might. Now, who wants that?
Yes.
Right? Now, if he did that for them, come on. A lot of what we go through and the way we live and our soul and our mind, our feelings, our emotions, the frustration, the stuff, a lot of it is just what we fail to see and understand. It's our view of life. Wonder if he would just come and open up our understanding, and we ask him to do that today. Because if he did it for them and he's raised from the dead and he's not partial, he'll do it for us, won't he?
Yes.
Who really sincerely would be sitting on their bed reading this, or on their couch or the chair, or just reading this, or driving in your car listening to a Bible CD and hear that scripture and say, wow, I want that. Amen? So let's pray that right now. Father, we believe today that the exact way you open their understanding, you open ours. And we thank you, Lord, that we can see things that for whatever reason we haven't been able to see. That down inside our own heart, things would click and make sense. Not just our mind, God, but our heart. Down inside our heart, we would see with eyes of understanding. And Father, we thank you for that grace. We appreciate it. You're so loving that you would come and be willing to open men's understanding that it's important to you. That you're on the earth in a body opening understanding. That to me is amazing. Thank you. You could be sitting up in heaven, being cynical, complaining, judging the earth, but you're not like that. You're God the Father, and we thank you. And Jesus, thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, let's go for it. Amen. So as you go, preach saying what? The kingdom, Matthew 10:7. Sorry, was I way ahead of you guys? You guys slow this morning. No prophetic, nothing going on, huh? A little prophetic assignment. You need to know the next verse I'm going to, so be there when I get there. Okay? We'll see who gets it. And as you go, preach saying, what? The kingdom of God is where? It's near, it's at hand, it's within reach. It has drawn near. Remember, had Jennifer stand up, had her stand 2 feet away, said, hey, the kingdom's near you. Why? Because it's in us. Simple illustration. The kingdom of God's here. The kingdom of God is in people. God's not way out there somewhere. He's in us. Now watch. Jesus said, don't look here. Don't go look in there. For the kingdom of God is within you. And then he tells them to go say the kingdom of God is here. Where is it? It's inside. You're going to understand as we look at these scriptures today, that's why we are privileged to lay hands on the sick. Why would you lay hands on the sick? Why would it matter? God's God. Just come and heal them, God. Because he made Adam in his image and said, tend and keep the earth, subdue the earth. Keep the earth. Yeah. We've turned it into, God, why did you allow? God, why are you letting? God, where have you been? Didn't we grow up thinking that way? How many people have you heard with attitudes towards God? We're the clay and he's the potter. It's a sad day. Presumptuous, presuming, misunderstanding. A lot of times it's not evil, it's just we just haven't been taught. That Jesus is a good teacher. If we would really get in here and read what he said, we'd understand. Is Jesus telling these guys to go preach the kingdoms here? Now, some people stumble. They say, well, Dan, he's talking to the disciples. He's talking to this small group of men. Well, look at the end of the chapter quick. Keep your place there in Matthew 10, but look at chapter 28. I'm just going to flow as I hear questions in people's hearts. We're going to answer them, see? But I can just get the word accomplished here. Look at verse 18. Jesus is raised from the dead. It's amazing. Romans 4 said he raised for our justification. Justification means just as if you've never sinned.
Whoa.
And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, watch what he said. All, how much?
All
authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Whoa.
Go therefore. Well, what's that have to do with them? He makes this statement. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. You go therefore. Why? Because we're in him and he's in us. We're one. We're the body of Christ. He's not seeing us apart from him. So he says, look, all authority is given to me. Well, it's given to you. Why don't you go? No, he said, you go. Look, right on the heels of this statement, you got to catch this stuff in your Bible, man. It's so exciting. It's ridiculous. All authority has been given to me. So go.
Amen.
Do you see this? Because we're one with him. We're the body of what?
Christ
means anointing. So we're the embodiment of the anointing. That, now, whose term is that? Did we come up with that term and make that term, or did we find that in the Bible? What am I reading here? 18. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. That's the Message Bible. It's really good. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by the baptism in the Spirit. Well, in the family, probably. Is that what it says? What's it say? Marking them in the...
Marking them by the baptism in the threefold name.
There you go. Yeah. It's in the family. Amen? Watch this. Go therefore. Why? Because all authority has been given to Jesus. So he came and took back. I could take you to Luke 4, where Jesus was tempted by the devil and he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, all these I'll give to you if you'll bow down and worship me. For they've all been handed over to me and I can give them to anybody I want. Luke 4 says that. Right? Who knows that's in there? Luke 4. Satan says, I'll give them to you. They've all been handed over to me. Well, who handed them over to the... Who handed the glory of all the kingdoms and who handed all that over to Satan? Adam, when he followed Eve and ate the tree. So Jesus comes as the second Adam. Right? Last, second. They both have great significance. Well, if you look at first Adam, second Adam. First Adam, last Adam. Martha always gets me on that one. She's always in the...
She does it all the time.
Last second, if you understand, if you keep your understanding of Christianity this simple, let me just love Martha today and say, first Adam, last Adam. If you take, not that I didn't love you yesterday, first Adam, last Adam, and you understand that you were born into the first Adam, so the last Adam came so you could be born again. And everything you were born into before Christ was the fall of man. Every mindset, everything, void of God. But the last Adam entitles you to the kingdom and reinstates you to the first Adam before the tree. I lived my whole life, I was 33, went to church my whole life, and nobody ever even scratched the surface of that and told me that. My whole life. Since then, been free every day, full of joy, and have seen miracles and healings in people's lives transformed because of that one thing that was hidden. One thing. So I just went to church because it was the Christian thing to do. So we build buildings everywhere and pay homage to God. And we bow our heads and say grace and stuff. And the whole time we're doing that, the kingdom is inside of us. Man, I feel this thing. Yeah. Do you know, I was praying yesterday, I was jogging. It was late, I had a tight schedule yesterday. I got running about 7:30. I ran hard, I was pumped because I was reminiscing. But in the last 2 weeks, I was connected with or directly involved in a couple tumors disappearing, a cancer being healed, several body parts shifting and moving, bones aligning. Just in the last 2 weeks, I was running my mind through all the things I experienced. You know why? Because this one thing I'm preaching, this one truth that was swept under the rug. Do you know how people, good people that don't understand, that go to church will fight this message and not even understand what they're fighting? Something so good. It's what makes the news good. Gospel means good news. Come on, if you're going to fight the good about the news, why preach the news? Then you just might as well turn on Fox 43 or something. Because it's news, but there's nothing good. It's just another station. You follow me? Okay, I better regroup here. Go therefore and make what? So Jesus has poured himself into these men for about 3 years. He's made these men one with him through the cross. Acknowledges that all authority has been given to him. He is so one with them. Do you realize when he was struck, they all scattered? Do you realize Peter denied him and so did all the other men because they all took off too? Do you realize they all loved their own lives more than Jesus? And do you see Jesus didn't change and didn't give up on him and didn't write him off? And when he raised from the dead, he went right to him. And he's like, I can't believe you guys booked on me. Peter, what were you thinking? He didn't say any of that, did he? Instead, the authority that he has, he gave them. Do you understand that's what's happening here? We're going to see it a couple other places. If all authority is given to him and we're going in his name, what authority are we going in? All authority. The authority of Jesus. Now watch. Now he's talking to his disciples. Go therefore and... Oh my goodness, he wants them to be... To reproduce. Be fruitful and... Was that the command in Genesis? This is the beginning here because they're born again. This is the beginning. Do you understand? This is like Genesis when God brought Adam up out of the dirt. John 20, Jesus breathed into his disciples... Genesis chapter 1, God breathed into Adam. The first Adam failed. The last Adam. I understand. The last Adam did the same thing to us as the Son of Man, Son of God. He repainted the beginning, the picture, what was lost, that breath, what was lost when man sinned, Jesus restored when he raised from the dead. And the first thing he did, John 20, raised from the dead, is breathe back into his guys. It's Genesis chapter 1. It's powerful. People say men wrote the book. It's so incredible. So what's he saying? Once again, the life and spirit of God can live inside of men. So now he says to Adam in the garden, be fruitful and... What's he saying here? Be fruitful and multiply. Everything I've imparted to you, everything I've put inside of you, everything that I've given you, go make men the same. Isn't he saying that? Oh, so this isn't about going to Sunday service and just living a peaceful life. It's about being fruitful and multiplying. It's not about paying homage to God. It's about manifesting the kingdom, isn't it? Watch this. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now here's what I want you to see. Because it's not limited to these 11 guys. Well, it's actually 12 now because of that fellow they added before Jesus raised from the dead, Matthias. Teaching them, look what they're supposed to do. Teaching them to observe how many things? Oh my goodness. That's a good word. My Bible says all things. I like the word everything. Does your Bible say that?
Oh, good.
What translation is that? NIV. Everything, teaching them to observe all things, everything that I have commanded who? You. Which means this. If he's talking to Peter, James, and John, he's talking to me. Now, who grew up here? Well, that was for the disciples. Do you hear how these strategies, mindsets creeped in along the way? When if you really read your Bible, I don't even know where we get that stuff. Well, yeah, but he's talking to the disciples, Dan. Right. Teach the new disciples everything that I've commanded you. So if it was a green light for Peter, James, and John, and he taught them to do something, then they're to teach us the same. Did you just read that? True? Now watch. Are we sitting here today because they obeyed and went and made disciples? Absolutely. So is he talking to us?
Yeah. How simple is this thing?
We've reduced it to religion and tradition in so many circles. And Jesus is a life-giving spirit. It's amazing. And lo, I am what? With you always to the end of the... Why'd he say that? So that nobody would say anything's changed. Nothing has changed. It's 2011 and this is true.
Oh, this is so fun to me. See, it's just really good.
Do you know if you don't believe what we're teaching, you'll be reduced to just Bible studies. You'll just let your knowledge take the place of knowing him, and you'll just be intrigued by the Bible, and you'll just sit in Bible studies that teach topics. You see, wow, that's cool. Oh, that's interesting. And your knowledge could actually puff you up. It's love that edifies. Who hears love in all this, what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, man, I created you for a purpose to bear witness of my image. Even though you lost that through the fall, I took the fall, rose from the dead to get it back inside of you. Now go do what you were created to do, bear witness of my image. You get it?
Oh, it's you're going to see it's everywhere. There's no way around it. The Bible is so all-inclusive.
You have to be careful that you don't think more than you search out the Word of God. That's what a lot of folks end up doing. They think and talk more than they look at the Word of God. You be careful not to do that. The Bible says be slow to anger, slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. That's a big deal. As you preach, say, the kingdom of God is here. Now, what's the very next thing he says? Heal the sick. Why? Because it's all part of the kingdom. So if you're to preach the kingdoms here and heal the sick, then the expression of the kingdom is the restoration of man. Healing the sick, cleansing, healing what sick? Does it say the sick that I ordain to be healed? The sick that I'm choosing to heal? The sick that I will to heal? Or does he say the sick? Does he say the sick unless, of course, it's a sickness I'm using to build character in their life? Does he say that? What sick does he say? Is this a command? Is he telling the disciples to do this? So in Matthew 28, when he says, command, teach them to do all the things I commanded you, does this qualify? Wow. Heal the sick, cleanse what lepers? That means if they have leprosy, they qualify to be cleansed. Right? Oh, this one gets us all the time because we still fear death. We're not supposed to. Hebrews 2 says we're free from the bondage of the fear of death because we have everlasting life through Christ. It's never about dying. It's about living. See, we covet this natural life so much because we can't see bigger than it. So we incorporate Jesus into this life, hoping this life is better because this is all we see. But this life is taking us into the one that's to come. And this life will speak forever on behalf of the King if we live it and leave a legacy. Or we'll live it in fear and incorporate Jesus into this life and hope this life goes better. Instead of expend it for his namesake so you have a legacy when you get there. You see the difference? One's all about him and the other's all about you. That's the trap. That's why there's so much fear, anxiety, frustration, and anger on the earth, even in Christians. It proves that we don't understand why we're in him. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise what dead? God, that's like so convicting. Cast out what? Demons. Most of the time, we almost act like they're not real. Why do we do this? Because freely we have... What have we received freely? The kingdom. And in the kingdom is healing. And the authority that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 28. Freely you have received, so freely what? Freely give. Isn't that amazing? Just flip a page or two here probably. John the Baptist comes through two disciples. Matthew 11. God, I worship you. I'm going to really just share a lot of words, so bear with me today. Don't nobody fall asleep on me. It's too exciting. The word's exciting. Now it came to pass, chapter 11, Matthew, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. So he's sharing the word. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Jesus, he sent two of his disciples. He said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? That question always stumbled me coming from John. Yeah. I was years ago at YCF, I taught on this one night, and there was actually a missionary from the Philippines there. He came up crying and said, oh my God, you have no idea that word I needed to hear. And I said, well, I think we all needed to hear it. It just really came in my heart. But I'm thinking, how can John, why would John the Baptist ask this question, are you the one to come? Because when he first saw him on the shore of the Jordan, he said, behold the Lamb of God. He made a public announcement. Yeah. He said, who takes away the sin of the world? He declared that he must decrease and he must increase. And he said, hey, he's the one. And he does it in John. He does it in Matthew. He says, he's the one the Father showed me about. I did not know who he was until I saw him. For when he came out of the water, the Spirit came upon him and remained upon him. And the Lord said, the one that the Spirit remains upon, he is the one. He's the one. Follow him. Stop following me. Didn't John do that? So did John have a revelation that Jesus was the one? Yes. Then why is he asking the question? Because he's in prison. He's in prison. And when your life's being tried, you question who God is. If he's coming to open prison doors, why am I in prison? If he's really the Christ, why does Herod have me locked up? I should be free. I'm the forerunner of the prophet, of the messenger, of the message. I mean, I'm not the forerunner, but I'm the one that was to proclaim from the wilderness, he's coming. The front runner, not forerunner, front runner. Jesus called him the greatest prophet of them all. Here he is with the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Proclaiming that he's going to open up prison doors and set people free. Jesus makes that proclamation in Luke. Behold, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And now John, who was anointed to proclaim his coming, is in prison. How many people I've heard in the last 16 years I've been saved say, well, if he's so good, how come? Well, if God's so faithful, then why am I? Well, if it, then how? I've heard that countless, countless, countless times, that mentality. John's asking a question of something he already knows. But his life's raising the question. And you can tell in Jesus' answer that I'm not speculating that this is what happened, because you'll see Jesus' answer. But I want you to see the first part of Jesus' answer. When they said, are you the one that was to come? Or should we look for another? Guess what Jesus said? You go tell John the things which you hear and see. Now look at Jesus' affirmation of him being the one. And then he says, all authority's given to me, go therefore. He says, you go preach saying, who's he saying to go? You go preach saying the kingdom's here. And what? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Isn't that what Jesus just said in the last verse we read? When they asked Jesus, are you the one? Guess what his testimony was? He didn't say, well, yeah, I started a church. It's really attended well. There's a lot of good things, and our worship is awesome. Oh, sorry, he just didn't say that. Did he say that? Yeah, I'm the one. People are really attracted to me. We have great Bible studies going on. In fact, our cell groups are splitting and growing and multiplying, and we're just having a great time. He didn't say anything like that. Look what he said. The blind see. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is the man. Now he's addressing. Now here's how you can find out why John asked the question. Because why would he tack this on? Blessed is the man who's not offended because of me. Well, if you're so good, why am I in prison? And I'm not saying that John had that serious of an attitude, but he sure had enough question to ask it. Did he already know he was the Christ? Yeah. The Bible affirms many times that he was the one that knew. Yeah. And now he's asking the question. It had to be because of his circumstance. And Jesus said, blessed is the man who has no cause to stumble because of me. Isn't that amazing? So don't let life dictate who he is. Let who he is be settled in your heart so you can face life from that place. Or you're a circumstance away from falling away, being overwhelmed, questioning God. As soon as you question God, you can't trust God. As soon as you can't trust God, you can't have intimacy with God. You'd be amazed how you teach on intimacy and people say, I just can't do that, Dan. You'd be amazed how the underlying issue is we have unresolved with God and we have questions in life and we're still accusing God without even realizing it. It's not even intentional, but we're still accusing God for things just inadvertently because of our lack of understanding, and we still aren't sure who God is. We're still trying to figure him out and find him through life. You find him through his son. Y'all all right? Guys are quiet, you're looking all, everybody's looking different directions, you're thinking or something. Huh? People looking to the floor, looking out, looking up. Isn't it amazing John asked that question? Here's what I want you to see. Jesus' answer was the way God was flowing through his life. The blind are seeing, The lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised up. It seems like it was important to Jesus. He brought up those things right away. That's how he affirmed who he was, by the things God was doing through his life in that authority. Isn't that amazing? And blessed is he who's not offended because of me. So this is the things Jesus is doing. When he says, go preach the kingdoms here, the first thing he says on preach the kingdoms here is heal the sick. It's a direct command. The kingdom's here, so heal the sick. Do you hear the connection, the relation? All authority's been given to me. Go, therefore, because I'm in you. Come on, you can't miss this. This is like too clear. It's all through your Bible, actually. So we read the promise in Matthew 17. Let me just scan through. I'll read it real quick. If you have faith, verse 20, as a mustard seed, you will. You won't pray to God. You will say to the mountain. Why? Because of this authority we're talking about. There's authority here. Because he's in us, guys, and we're his choice. You ought to get this personal with me and intimate. We're his choice. We're his choice to carry the kingdom. He made us for that. It's your created value. You're a house fit for a king. He made that possible. He wants to live inside of us, guys. I'm telling you, when you believe this, it makes for a good day. Don't be afraid you'll get like me if you believe this. Serious, don't be afraid. But I'll tell you what, it wouldn't be bad to have some joy in your heart. It wouldn't be a sad day to be able to laugh when everything's like it always is in life and really see beyond it all. It's not some flippant mystery fantasy concocted place. You just see different. You see hope for people. You see help for people. You see change in your heart. You don't read life face value when you understand the gospel. Or you'd walk through an airport and just cry because everybody seems lost at large. That's not the way it is. You're drawn to them and you love them. And you just know somebody has a seat beside you. And they're going to be in a seatbelt. Yes. They can't get away. It's just fun. It's fun, Randy. You say, well, hi. They say, hi, how are you? They ask the dreaded question, how are you? And then you have to tell them. Or they say, so how's your day going? Or, why were you in town? Yes. Are you heading home? Yeah. Why were you here? Yes. It's all you need. It's just fun. I can tell you a lot of airplane things just from the last couple months. I haven't even flown that much, but there's always somebody beside you belted in. And Jesus loves them. Isn't that cool? So they're not a target. I'm not trying to get them saved, guys. I think that's where we went wrong. We miss love and we miss the value of the person and we fail to convey a sincere heart to them. We have an agenda. We're just saying, it seems right, it seems Christian, we're just trying to get them saved. I wonder if we just try to give them Jesus because we're filled with him and we love people. And our goal isn't to get them saved, it's to give them Jesus so that they have a vital encounter with the living God. And then they have to deal with that for the rest of their life or whatever. What are you going to do with a lady who comes down the stairs of the jetway bawling because she can walk for the first time since she can remember? Holds you crying hysterically in front of everybody, hugging you, saying thank you over and over and over. And you tell her it really wasn't my fault. Jesus has always loved you. She just happened to run into somebody that believed that. It's the only responsibility I can take. Wonder if that was waiting to happen the whole time. And we're mystical saying, well, divine appointment, brother. Well, if the divine one lives in us, probably every appointment's divine.
Amen.
We complicate it. We mystify it. Therefore, we limit the move of God in our lives. Because we're waiting for bells and whistles or thunder or lightning. And love just loves. That particular lady, I was talking about another lady on a plane the flight before who was bone on bone on her knees, and we were talking, and I said, "Oh my goodness, I'm talking about you." And she went, and her eyes filled with tears. I said, "You have the same condition." She was trembling. The gospel was making so much sense. Both these ladies were still crying out to God, but frustrated with church and refused to go to church. They said, "It's an organized machine, and I've never found God there. I've just paid my money to keep their boat afloat." And I said, "I'm sorry you've had that experience. I know that's out there. Church really isn't like that, and Jesus is still amazing. Let me share why he died on the cross." And I started sharing, and she was undone. Because nobody ever told her that. She just thought she's a sinner, and if she doesn't go to church, she's going to hell. And she never understood she had value. It was worth the blood of Jesus, and that she's created to be a daughter. And the good news was turning her heart. And then I shared about all the stuff God said. She said, "Really?" I was just on the plane with a young lady, and she was like, "Really? I didn't think God really did that stuff. I thought that was just TV shows." It's just what she said. I said, "Are you kidding me? Oh my goodness." I'm sharing some words. She says, "Really? Really? I think we ought to pray, honey." Okay. That's so fun. But I got that lady on purpose, because people hear you talking. I got her on purpose out into the aisle of the plane while we were flying to walk around and check herself. Because I know how people are emotional. When you're that hurting, and she was so hurting, guys, that if she just twisted her ankle and put pressure, pain would shoot all up and down through her joint of her knee. She got out. She took 3 steps, Susan. 3 steps. On the plate. And I'm sitting there going, "Oh, this is so good." She turned and went, "Oh my God." I said, and then I'm a little louder than I was. Because people are like, "What are they doing? I heard him talk about Jesus." But their ears somehow through the page. I said, "Isn't that awesome, honey? I told you he's amazing. Jesus loves you so much. Oh my goodness, it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Healing's part of the kingdom." Oh, and I'm just preaching. Because there's probably somebody sitting around me that goes to church faithfully and says God doesn't heal. There's probably somebody that says he does if he wants to. I'll get growling here in a minute. I'm not growling at people, by the way. I growl at mentalities that aren't from Jesus. They're from flesh. I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will. Who will?
You will.
Who will?
You.
Okay, now the you he's talking to is Peter, James, and John and them. No, right now he's talking to his little circle. But in Matthew 28, he told them to teach us everything he taught them. And if he's teaching them right now, then this gospel's teaching us. Make sense? Come on, it's not complicated. And lo, he is with us even till what? The end of the age. So the next time I'm flying, guess who's with me? Did you get it? So it's still a good day for salvation, isn't it? Yay. That sure beats worrying about if your flight's on time and how long you got to wait at your connector and, "Oh my God, I might miss my flight," and, "Oh no," and and you're a wreck, frustrated. Because it's all about who? Absolutely. So what if my flight's a little delayed? Just somebody else to sit beside while you're waiting.
Yeah.
Oh, that we would understand, Lord. Do you guys travel at all? The pandemonium of an airport when flights are messed up. The anger, the ready to take off each other's heads, the ladies behind the desk taking whoopings that they have nothing. They can do nothing. They aren't even responsible. It's a thunderstorm over the airport, and the ladies behind the desk are getting crucified. You ever in that era scene? And you're walking through there smiling, and people are mad because you smile. What are you smiling about? Really want to know? I'm serious. It's like sometimes people are mad because you're okay. But it's funny how you can get their minds off of things if you sit and start talking to folks. Jesus can just show up. Who's going to say to the mountain? I'm being slow on purpose. I want you to get this. Who's saying to the mountain? We are. It's going to move. And this is to me the most incredible thing Jesus said in the New Testament for me personally. This is just me. It touches me personally. And what? And what? And no thing. That's good. Who said no thing? Who broke it down? That's good. And nothing. No thing. Will what? Will be impossible for who? Oh my goodness. Now just because that has not been our reality doesn't mean he didn't say it and doesn't mean it's not true. He died on the cross telling us we're all worthy of his death. Do people live that way? Do people believe that? Is it still true? Does God obviously love everyone? Does everybody receive his love and believe his love? Does he still love? Are we going to stand before God one day and find out that he's love? Does everybody believe it and receive it and walk in it? Is it still true?
Whoa.
So it does boil down to what we believe, doesn't it? The just live by. The whole world's in the sway of the wicked when life itself is set against you believing. And we'll make sure you have every opportunity to not believe. And yet Jesus said what he said. Amen? Circumstances in life, I'm telling you, there's strategies set against every one of us to quench the kingdom. He's not even out to destroy you. He's out to defeat God in you. Potential, kingdom, destiny, purpose. Why do you think you in and of yourself would be so important to the devil that he'd be trying to kill you and quench you? It's because of the kingdom. It's because of your created value, your potential, your birthright, your heritage, your inheritance. That's why you don't take life personal. You take the kingdom personal. Because that's what makes you everlasting. Amen. Comment?
Yeah, a little while ago we were talking about Baptist.
Hang on. Let him give you the mic. He's right there. That'd be better than I don't have to convey it back because they can't hear you. Go ahead.
A little while ago when we were talking about John the Baptist and he was in prison and, well, then he was beheaded. And Chris Valentin was speaking at BOP this year and he was talking about the reason that he had to be beheaded was it was going out with the old, taking off the old mindset, the cranial mindset, and Christ was bringing in the spiritual life, the new life.
Right. Well, there definitely is a change from the old to the new. I mean, personally, whether he had to lose his head for that, I understand prophetic, and Chris is prophetic. I see what he's saying. The bottom line is the away with the old and in with the new. Absolutely. You follow what he's saying there? So I totally agree with that. It's a brand new way of thinking and living. Be renewed in the spirit, in the spirit of your mind. I like that. Spirit. Inner core, depth of being, the spirit of a man, the innermost being, innermost part, the spirit of your mind. The central core, the functioning foundational place of the working of your mind is how I see the spirit of your mind. I mean, you could study it out and do a word search and define it some different way, but that's what works for me. It's just, wow. Now watch this. Hey. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. I was just getting the cobweb. I was talking about the spirit of my mind. Did you hear it cleaning out? Yeah. Just, yeah. Dude, the lights are on. I'm renewed. Amen. Yeah, it's getting clearer and clearer. I'm messing up so bad today. It's ridiculous. I didn't even have anything for breakfast or anything. I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say. So faith is revealed in you saying, understanding with authority, not just crying out because you have a need. But faith is revealed in you addressing a mountain because you see it for what it is. You know who you are. You see the big plan and picture and will of God, and you address it. Now, how many people were raised up in a circle, in a belief that it was almost unholy to assume to know the will of God? Like the will of God was a mystery. Who grew up feeling that way? Like the will of God's a hot potato. Who can know the will of God? Let me see your hands. Who grew up with that idea? Because I did. Yes. Okay, it's a lot of us. It's at least half or more. When the Bible says, don't be unwise, understand the will of the Lord, the Bible says to be renewed in your mind so you can prove the will of God. When the Bible reveals Jesus' life is the will of God revealed. So the will of God is found through Jesus' life. I think we'll be okay. Or does he want to check something or do something? Jesus loves me. It's going to work. I ain't using no handheld. He loves me way beyond a handheld. Come on. He didn't shed his blood and get me free to bind me up with a handheld. So it's going to work. It's just the way it is. He loves me. So nothing, what? No thing will be impossible for who? I thought that was God's job. Nothing impossible for God. He said nothing will be impossible for her. He's telling this to his guys right now. Why? Because he wants you on some power trip or thinking you're somebody special. He wants you to see you're one with him. That he always sees you one with him. And that who he is who he is in you. The body of... Who made up that phrase? Did we come up with that? Or is that in your Bible? The embodiment of Christ. Think about it. The embodiment of Christ. I'm looking at it. The embodiment of Christ. No wonder we fight with insecurity, identity complexes, low esteem. Because if you're struggling with that stuff, you're not even thinking body of Christ. You're thinking getting through the day with your chin up. And you're hoping somebody says something nice to you so you feel better about what you don't feel. And yet you're carrying the kingdom and you're his people. That's why identity crisis is so prevalent in people, because Satan's strategy is to keep us from seeing who we really are. And getting caught up in a whole bunch of other stuff. Distractions, dime a dozen. Distraction is a dime a dozen. When you know who you are, I've learned this. When you know who you are, you can't even be distracted. You, when you know who you are, it does something beautiful. Amen? Okay. We read this also, not to be redundant. I'm just walking through like I've wanted to here for a while. So I want to do this today. So thanks for letting me. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt in your heart, Matthew 21:21. You will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but you will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. Watch. Verse 22 is, I know I said Matthew 17:20 is my favorite, but watch this. This is a real close second to me. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, not needing. Did you get that? Ooh, that was a sword, wasn't it? Whatever you ask in prayer needing, it shall be done. No, that's not what it says. It says whatever you ask in prayer believing. So you have to have confidence in the will of God to even be able to believe. Because if you're asking God something you're not sure is his will, you don't even have confidence and faith in your asking. You're just checking it out if it'll work. Come on. Faith begins when the will of God is known. If you know the will of God, faith isn't automatic. If you understand the love of God, faith flows through it. Do you understand? So if I have sickness in my body and I'm understanding God's love for me through the cross and I'm understanding the kingdom is here, heal the sick, and I'm understanding the correlation of redemption, restoration, God wants to redeem me, reconcile me, make me whole. I start understanding God's love is what rolled this ball in the first place. It begins to be easy to see myself whole and begin to receive His love and receive wholeness in that area when I'm settled and sure His love for me. Not letting the sickness question the love, but letting the love crush the sickness. What we do is, well, if He loves me, why am I sick? That's what we do. Well, sometimes you prayed for me and I wasn't healed. Why wasn't I healed then? If God loves me, then why wasn't I healed? And you reveal that you have that question, that you're letting your sickness define God instead of God define the sickness. Where did we ever give the sickness the voice to define God when God's already defined through His Son? He should already be in place. The sickness shouldn't threaten His identity in your life. It's okay. What?
Doesn't that go back to John the Baptist in prison?
Yeah, let's wait for the mic. No, you have to do the mic because nobody can hear you, honey. Well, sure you do. If you want to speak, because it's called love for the people. Yeah.
John, that's exactly what John was feeling when he was in prison. And he goes, gee, is this... Are you the one?
Right.
So we allow these things to come upon
right.
us.
Right. We absolutely do. But here's the deal. Is it truth? Is it wisdom? Is it healthy? Is God in it? So when John does that, guess what John's doing when he does that? When John does that in prison, what she said was, isn't that exactly what John did in prison? Yes, exactly what he did. We should read and learn and see that's not the way. Okay? It shouldn't be common to men. Common sense, common knowledge, human reasoning. The way that seems right to a man is the way that leads to destruction. So here's the deal. Does God's love get affirmed through Christ in His life? Or does God's love get affirmed through the circumstances of your life? God's love is affirmed through Christ in His life. True? Why are we looking for love through the circumstances of our life? Because we're self-centered and needs-driven and incorporating God into our life instead of Him becoming our life.
Oops.
And at large, we've taught the gospel that way. What God can do for us instead of how He can make us more like Him. The gospel's all about God making us more like Him. We've turned it into a breadbasket. So when things aren't going well, the arms fold and the questions fly. And we reveal that we're in this for what He can do for us, not who He is in us. So because I've said that a lot in this school and you're sitting here, probably ought to just not let that happen anymore in your life ever. Amen. See, because it doesn't change truth. It'll just get you from receiving truth. So if you start questioning God's love for you, how could you ever trust God and be in faith? If the first person you turn to and question is God in a situation, how could you ever walk it through by the Spirit? When He should be established and you fight with Him. I was talking, who was? Oh, it was Shane. We had a great talk with Shane. Shane, you're awesome. Just yesterday in the parking lot. He just has a good grip on some things that he shared. It's just good. And I just really respected it. I was thanking God for you when I left, when I pulled out. When you have a trial come into your life, and you start asking the introspective questions, wonder how this has happened, wonder why this is happening, wonder what door I opened, wonder what allowed it. That is the 99.9% time that I see, that's how people respond when they're in a trial. They do the question list when the reality is it's happened, you should be fighting. When you're doing the questions, there's no shield or sword. You're actually backing up, introspecting, going way back, and you should be waging a good fight of faith right now. You can figure out somewhere along the line maybe if there's a way to avoid something, but the bottom line is it's here. Why are we going, how did this happen? Oh my God, what did I do wrong? Where is God? What did I? Why is the devil? Why is God allowing? Oh! And it's almost the way we're programmed to think when we're faced with trial, that we do this introspective question list instead of rise up and say, well, Dan, how am I supposed to respond? Very simply, you got a shield that quenches every fiery dart. You got a sword. Rather than question those weapons and their validity and putting them away, why not get them out and use them? Father, wow, I see what's going on. I am not sure how this has even come about, but I sure thank you that you love me and that you've given me wisdom. And God, right now that I just, and then you proclaim life over the situation. Why? Because you're assured he loves me. You're assured that he didn't administrate this because it's not bringing life. But he can sure form me through it. He can sure seal me in a deeper revelation. But I have to keep my eyes on who? On him, not go, oh my God, how did this happen? Let me see here. And now you're throwing your identity away and everything. You can't even fight when you're in that place. You're not even going to stand in any place of faith. Right? And you're being deceived into just making it all about you again and what you're going through and how and why. Instead of who you are in him, rising up and winning. You follow me? Yeah. It's like, hey, it's here. The storm's here. It comes to the wise and foolish. We've covered that in this school. He says, the storm's here. What do I do now in God? That's what our response should be. Not, why is the storm here? It's here. Are you following me?
Yes.
Come on. Matthew 21, 22 says, whatever things. What things?
Whatever.
You ask believing you will. Doesn't say needing, remember? It says believing. It's a big deal. This is not a formula. It's not just a principle. It's not just a method we apply to get results in our life. It's a relationship of love. It's a revealing of the Father. You find the Father in here through the Son, and you find you in here. It's a love. It's a love thing, man. It's amazing. Let's look at a couple more here quick. Let's go to... we hit Mark 11. Let me just read it quick. Go to Mark 11 real quick with me, please. Thanks, God. You're so good. Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus said, have faith in who? Wow. What a phrase. Man, we put our faith in a lot of things. We put our faith in the people that are praying for us. We put our faith in our own faith. We put our faith in what we're praying. Your faith is in God, who he is, his will in the matter, his heart. Who God is where faith comes from. Faith works through what?
Love.
Through love. Don't ever forget that. Your faith is in God. We've taught faith sometimes in such a way that we put our faith in our ability to have faith.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Your faith's in God. Watch how simple faith is. I'm all alone. You're not around. And I am just convinced God loves me so much that he would send his son. That he would redeem me and reconcile me while I was yet an enemy by wicked works in my mind, yet he made holy, blameless, and above reproach. I was alienated. I was estranged. I was away. I had no hope, no covenant, no God. And yet he was there to father me. And now I see and understand through the cross. He's captivated my heart. I am so sure of his love towards me. So here I am sitting in this place. So anything that comes my way has to come through the eye of that needle. So cancel fear, worry, anxiety. I'm in love with God. God's in love with me for the purpose of manifesting his image, manifesting his nature. Not just so he takes care of me, not just so my ducks are in a row, not just so that everything goes my way and I'm never inconvenienced in life, but so that I can bear witness of my Father. He's in me and I'm in him and he loves me and his will is towards me. In the realm of life. You got it? So persecutions, trials, adversity is all to manifest Jesus through. God doesn't stop that stuff. It's actually a great platform to manifest the truth of what's inside of you. Oh, you can bawl and squall if you want. You'll just expose that you're in this for you, and you make yourself a sitting duck, and the devil will just push you around like a ball in a pinball machine. Sickness, disease, things that steal, kill, destroy. I have a real grip on now. You can't be part of God's plan, and the part of God's plan is you paid for my redemption, etc. What gives me the confidence to receive that? His unfailing love for me. See where faith comes from? It comes through love. It's a beautiful thing. You're sure and settled on the will of God for you. The fact that you're going through it doesn't change it. That's what happens. Well, then why am I going? But why is this? Why do I got to go through this? And see, that's a it's all about me again. Look, I don't have all the answers. I know we're tried, we're tested, where things happen. God's the same. Hold on to Him, and we're coming through. You know what we've said? We said, well, brother, you're going through this. You had to open the door. Well, you got to get something right. I mean, there needs to be repentance on your part or something. You mean, look, the devil ain't doing this to you. If it's the devil, he had to have an outlet. He had to have a way. He had to have da-da-da. And there's no faith towards the person. Hey, let me pray with you. It's just more pressure. You have to be doing something wrong or you wouldn't be in that place. That's what we've done to each other. Big time. Rather than, look, man, wrap your arm around mine. Yeah, we're like a chain, man. We're together in Christ. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know, but I can see one thing. It doesn't have the fingerprint of God. And I realize, Jesus, no matter what opened the door, we can figure that out along, but let's stand and fight because we can win. Jesus loves you. That's rarely the response. Usually it's real intellectual, real mystical. And the whole time the people are doing it, they're backing out and they're not even in it to help. They're just saying, we have to be doing something wrong. Here's a faith book. Whatever things you ask believing shall be done. Have faith in God, for truly, verse 23, Mark 11, I say to you, whoever, who? Who? Wow. So we're in, huh? Do you see how you have the privilege of stewarding this gospel? Or contesting it? Or jumping halfway in, halfway out? Whoever. Come on, this is Jesus talking. I don't care. I'm not trying to debate. I'm not trying to be right and make somebody wrong. I just have to settle, do I believe in Jesus? Is He Lord? Is He the truth? And is He speaking right now? And if my answer is yes, then I've got my answer. So it doesn't even matter if the whole world says, Dan, you're wrong. I still have to answer what I'm going to do with Jesus. My whole family, the closest people to my life, could contest me and say, Dan, you're taking this too far. You can't prove to me that I am when I read that Bible. You tell that lady on the airplane I'm taking this too far. She'd probably disagree with you. Yeah. Yeah. And a whole lot of other folks. I said this earlier in the school. For some reason, it's in my heart again. People that fight against what I'm preaching right now and don't understand seem to live their whole lives and never see things change. People that preach what I'm preaching, even though we're not seeing everything we're going after, we're seeing a lot of stuff. Yeah. There's babies that are alive today that shouldn't be. Yeah. I bumped into a lady last fall whose child shouldn't be alive, and she's 7. There's no way she should be. I get a Christmas card from somebody that was 6, should have been surely dead when they were 2. It's countless. I can't even, my mind starts reminiscing. I could lay on my bed and cry. There's so many things God's doing. Don't you think it has a connection with believing? Just because we're not seeing everything and because somebody dies, the cynic will rise up and go, then why'd they die? Well, what about all the ones that are living? And what about we're growing and increasing? And that cynicism's going to really turn into dust one day in the presence of God. That's a shame that people can think like we think. So wonder if we're not seeing everything. Did Jesus say we can? So what do we do? Scrap what Jesus said and let our experience be Lord? Or do we have integrity and trust what Jesus said and get greater revelation and see our experience change? I would say let's go that route. I'm going that route. Whether you all do or not is up to you. You have to stand before him, but I'm going that route. And the people on the airplanes are going to still get touched in the malls. You got something, Steve? Get him the mic back here in the back. He's a good guy. Glad you joined us, man. You got a good girl sitting there beside you too, man. I like her a lot. Yeah.
That made me think of this story that I wanted to share. I just read about John G. Lake. And I mean, this guy had amazing stuff.
John G. Lake's amazing, yeah.
And they had this situation where they were, this hospital was bringing in these hypnosis people that were doing hypnosis to do healing.
Right.
And they invited John G. Lake to come and be a part of it. And he said, I'll be a part of it on one condition, I go last. And it's amazing. The whole story is a complete like replication of Prophets of Baal and Elisha.
Right.
Or Elijah.
Mount Carmel. Yeah, Elijah. Yeah.
And so he said, I go last. They get up and they found five people, incurable diseases, completely incurable, impossible to cure them. And he said, you know, you guys go ahead. And they're doing all their stuff and it's just not working. Nothing happens. These people are still in their wheelchairs, still not moving. John G. Lake gets up and ministers to each one of them individually and prays for them each individually. Three of them get healed instantaneously. One within 4 days and the other one passed away. But I read that and immediately it came up to my mind, well, what about that one? What about, you know, why did that one have to pass away? And this is something that, you know, Kim and I have been wrestling through is, we believe that everything is victory when we go into it, but it doesn't always come out the way that we believe victory was or the way that we wanted it to. And you guys have talked a lot about how that doesn't determine our belief. But
right.
I thought that was interesting that even for John G. Lake, I was expecting reading the story that everybody was just going to get
right.
healed instantaneously. But
no, well, watch this. That's so three, and I know the story well. I've read a lot of John G. I don't read many books. I can count on one hand probably the books I've read since I've been saved. But I've read John G. Lake book three times, the big 500 and some, almost 600 pager. I read it three times straight through. And then I read a bunch of other stuff more than three times. And that story's very familiar to me. Three were instantly healed. One was healed in several days, recovered, and the other died. Isn't it amazing how humble he was in saying the first thought is, well, why'd the one die? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank God three were instantly healed and the fourth one recovered in a few days. And the standard is Jesus and we're following him. So here's the deal. So Jesus walks in there and prays for them five. What happens? Across the board, what happens? Everybody in this room would agree. Who saw Jesus touch anybody that wasn't healed? So if Jesus walks in there and touches those people, what happens to those five people? So it proves we're growing. It proves that our belief system is on the right track. We're seeing fruit. We're seeing results, but we're increasing. We're not Jesus, but we're the body of Christ becoming more like him. You see? But the trap is cynicism and human wisdom focuses on the one instead of rejoicing in the three. Well, four, but the three instant, because the fourth, even though a couple days come by, we're still seeing him as not healed most of the time in the church, even though he's in process. Because we don't realize, unless we see it, we really don't believe it in most cases. So we turn healing into a hit, miss, win, or lose. It's something we try. Hey, that's, well, I don't know why God didn't heal. So people come to the altar and we pray and they feel the same and we say, well, I guess they didn't get healed. Well, I guess we'll try next week or whatever. And we make it a point in time. It's like, that's why there's so much pressure when people are being prayed for a lot of times, because it's like all or nothing. And it's deception. It's nothing. I have lost track of people that we've prayed for that go on and just are healed in a matter of a couple days. They go to bed and they wake up healed. You bump into them in town. You pray for people in your hometown and you bump into them in a store two months later. It's happened to me, I don't know how many times. Hey, you remember me? Yeah, I had to pray for you somewhere. You're familiar. Yeah, it was over. Okay, yeah. Oh my gosh, no more pain. I got up in the mornings, no pain. And some of those people think you're nuts when you're praying for them. Some of the people are thinking, boy, hurry up and get it over with. People are looking. And you're being gracious and you're praying fast. And we're going to get into all that next week because I want to train on that. But if I don't understand what I'm telling you right now, my heart's not even encouraged. It's a hit, miss, win, or lose. And if they're not immediately changed, well, then they aren't healed, or they're not being healed, or they're not going to be healed. I have to see past that. I think it's a marvelous story, but I wanted to highlight that isn't it amazing how our minds are tempted to drift to the one that wasn't instead of build on the three or four that are. I heard Bill Johnson say this on a tape. I see you, Patty. I heard Bill Johnson say this on a tape. He said, isn't it amazing how we focus on what hasn't happened? Why don't we keep building on what God's doing? I haven't seen even close to everybody I've prayed for healed. I used to say I've seen hundreds healed, and my friends laugh and say, would you knock it off? That's being silly. But honestly, I have seen thousands of people healed. I saw 100 people healed in 30 seconds not long ago. It was just one of them beautiful moments. And God said, I'm in the room just like you're singing. Why don't you proclaim it? I stopped the worship, stood up and stopped the worship and proclaimed it. And God went, and it was ridiculous. Three scoliosises went, cataracts, three people melted right out of their eyes. It was 100 things. It was hysteria. People were crying, tore ACLs. It was just in 30 seconds. So, see, I haven't seen enough, but I've seen way too much to argue with you. I will just smile at your inexperience and presumption and just keep on trucking. If you don't want to talk, if you just want to fight, I'm not fighting with you. I've seen way too much. I've watched tumors disappear. Yeah. See, that almost feels arrogant to some people when you talk like that. See how I am right now? I got so much going through me right now. It's just, because either I'm a crack case and a mental, a psycho, crazy guy that needs serious help right now, or I'm telling you the truth and time will tell. Oh, my goodness. You know, I've watched 5 people wake up in comas. Just open their eyes, hooked up to all the machines. When medical science said that 2 of them couldn't even hear you. And they went. It's a wonderful feeling when you speak their name and their eyes look at you. Well, you got to tell a few of those things sometimes. And I don't like to tell a lot on video because then I get all the phone calls with everybody's broken friends, to, like as if I'm the one that has to pray for everybody. And our whole purpose of the school is doing what Jesus said. Look, I've poured myself into you. Now you go make disciples and you multiply and you're the body of Christ. Go cover the earth with my glory. Yeah. And we're still feeling bad about what people did and didn't say right. There's a bigger picture to life. Are you following me? Patty, you've been raising your hand and raising your hand. Doesn't? Are you serious? We got the mic to you. It's okay.
No, I kind of passed it. It was with the story about the 3 guys that were healed and one took a couple of days and one died. It hit me when we said, well, why did that one die? We talked about it here the other week where you have actually said if you walk into a hospital room and you, the circumstance, you know you already lived. It's no use you even pray. Maybe that's possibly what could have happened. You know.
Well, there's a lot of things. We have to realize we carry the kingdom. Who has been raised up with a mentality in faith and doubt and unbelief and stuff when they've heard it taught that if you walk in a hospital room and everybody's crying, speaking negative, that atmosphere dominates the move of God? That is totally untrue. Completely, totally untrue. So you show me one atmosphere Jesus walked into and got suppressed. The only time it says that's that Nazareth thing, we covered that. They just didn't bring the sick to him. They thought he was loco. His hometown. And he said, a prophet receives no honor. If you honor a prophet, in the name of a prophet, you would bring people to him, right? They didn't honor him, so they didn't have time for him, so they had better things to do. Nobody brought the sick in the streets in Nazareth like they did in Capernaum. You follow me? So he had nobody to work with. There was nobody. They didn't bring the sick. So the ones he passed by, he must have touched a few because it said he healed a few sick folks. But you know what he started doing? Going to their synagogues and preaching and teaching. Why? To get the truth out there, to get the word established. But in their hometown, they were despising it. They were familiar with him. This is Mary's boy. Where does he get off saying this stuff? We watched him grow up since he was a little guy. And they got, right? Well, you get old Bartimaeus in another town here, and he's passing through. He's a blind guy. He's been hearing the talk. What's all the commotion? It's Jesus of Nazareth. He's passed. Jesus? Well, he's the Messiah. He's the Christ. I know it here. He's the Son of the... Jesus, have mercy on me. You're not blind anymore. People that saw him where he was, pressing through the crowd, grabbing his garment, healed. Seeking him out in the house, blind. Why do you follow him? What do you want me to do? That we might see. See. Over and over. Why are we fighting with that? Why don't we just understand that Jesus had no identity crisis, no insecurity. He knew exactly who he was. We're still learning. And we move in levels of what's available. But the fact that we move in levels of what's available means there's something out there available. If three were instantly healed, there's something in the air. Right. Yeah. Hello? But our intellectual minds camp on the one that didn't. Well, I go there too because I want them all healed too. I understand. But you know what? Four were healed, weren't they? We ought to rejoice and keep on touching the sick, shouldn't we? Yeah. Can I be real straight and raw? I say some pretty straight stuff. If you prayed for a loved one and a family member and they died and you stopped praying for the sick because I experienced it's because you're hurt, you're taking it personal, you got to find a place to deal with that pain, that sense of loss, and jump up out of that place and get your hands on the sick again. Because you're just making it all about you and how you feel. I'm not being insensitive because I've lost people. That's why I can talk that way. You know, I've prayed for a lot of people. Do you know how many hospitals I've gone to? Do you know how many babies I've held with wires hanging out of them? You know, I've seen a bunch of them fix up. You know, I've watched a bunch die. Do I seem encouraged to you? So I'm not living for me. I'm going after this kingdom. Because Jesus said it's in me. And because I believe it, there's a lot of good things that have happened. Do you know how fun it is to pray for a doctor who's lost his eyesight from glaucoma? And he opened his eyes and he trembled and his jaw shake and he fall on your shoulder because he can see totally clear? Right in Michigan? That's fun. There's something in the air. It's called the kingdom. The reason it's in the air, it's because it's coming out of us. Or you can board it up and shut it up in there and just go to church on Sunday and say your prayers. Or the signs that follow a believer, they lay their... That's the first sign. They lay their hands on the sick. Why don't we lay our hands on the sick? Because we're not sure what we believe. It's pretty straight. When you believe, you'll lay your hands on the sick. That's what Jesus said. The first sign of a believer. Did you ever read a little Norval Hayes booklet? Norval Hayes is from the old school. He's still around. He says, he writes books like this, like Sally Jane books or whatever, those books. You know the reader's books, the little one-liner books? He says, this is a Norval Hayes booklet, a little mini booklet. And it might say on the front, are you a believer? Question mark. And it intrigues you. You pick it up. And the middle, the front, the first page says, are you a believer? You flip the page. Really? Do you lay hands on the sick? Why not? Then I guess you don't believe. It's just how he writes the book. It's like, I mean, you drop the book and just go run and pray for somebody. Because what it proves is, guys, we're so caught up in the healing aspect. What Steve said, why didn't the one get healed? We get so caught up in that, that we make healing the issue. And wonder if they're going to get healed. And will God heal through me? And wonder if he doesn't show up. And wonder if they aren't healed. And all those things mount. And then we draw back with the confidence to never even do what the first thing a believer does is get their hands on the sick, because we have unresolved in this area. But if you do believe, you're thinking to pray for the sick. If you're talking to somebody and you haven't seen them for 5-7 years and they say, oh, I have this going on or this, the first thing in your heart is to pray for them. Most Christians, especially that sit under this teaching, that's the first response because of the teaching. But then you have to deal with what? Your flesh, your emotions, your feelings, and your thoughts, and decide if you're even going to do it or not. But the conviction to do it's there immediately, isn't it? Immediately. And sometimes it takes the conviction to rise above the pain of doing it. But if you have that conviction, I would say, why go through the pain? Just do it. And you'll be so happy you did, and you'll wonder why you were waiting. God is so gracious. We have seen so much. We had people on the streets in Colorado 2 weeks ago that never even prayed for the sick in the public. And God was just moving. It was extraordinary. Guys, Tom Rotola had to cut the line off. It was from here down to that music stand. And he's telling everybody take 90 seconds, and they're telling the whole story, you know. The sky was blue and these puffy clouds came. They were telling the whole story, you know. It's like, he's like, 90 seconds, please, get to the point. They're coming, it's 40, 45 minutes of testimonies of people out on the streets praying for the sick. And it's some of them their first time. Literally, a tumor this big hanging on a lady's side just disappeared. We were in Ohio and a man had tumors all over his body. They prayed for him and his whole body was clean. Three eyesights restored. They weren't totally blind, but they were, boom, Walmart parking lot stuff. It's just ordinary, everyday people that are humbling their intellect.
Oh, that was an ouch.
And saying, wonder if,
let's just go see, let's just go.
Instead of, yeah, but, wow, God forbid we stand before Jesus and find our whole life was on hold because of a yeah, but. And he already was the truth revealed. Can you imagine that day, Jennifer, if that would happen here? You would wonder, why didn't I believe? One so lovely. Because I have to honor that this is Jesus. Now, this is where people cop out and they say, well, I don't know this is the Word of God. Men wrote the book. I don't know. I am so glad. Thank you. I am so glad. She was telling me what time it was. She must have to go to the party. Take a break. Go. We're done.